What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
Hello, this is Chi.
And Mini Del Macho.
And Emilio.
Hi.
Super sexy guy over here.
The Mexican Barry White, everyone.
I think it's because I took a nap. It's always lower when I wake up.
Oh, yeah, after you sleep. All right. So, top of the show here, what do we got to announce? What do we got in the intro?
So, Mini is going to be a more permanent member of the podcast here. He did a good job. He's got the hair. He's got the look. He's got the voice. He's all over the place. He plays the games we don't play. It's a nice interplay we have. I think I can see him. Oh, I think Sam just got home. Okay, good. I can see he's starting to make political moves, trying to get the top spot, but I won't let him. Don't worry, guys.
Anyway. I think he's trying to claim that he's the cutest one on the podcast, and there's bound to be a battle.
Hugh Jackman on here? Are you crazy?
I have claimed that many times.
Well, no, I mean, there's cute, and then there's smoky sexy. I don't know, guys. We'll see. We'll see what the... We'll leave it up to the viewers to cast their votes on who gets what.
All right. And in other news, we're moving right along with our video. We're streaming today, like usual, twitch.tv/digital_logic. Logic with a K, of course. Why not? We've got our overlay up, so we're looking good here. Things are looking a little bit better. Got top donation and most recent donation announced. So, you know, the game is afoot.
Yeah. Thank you to Todd Monster and Cricket Soldier. Yeah. Between them, it's $100. Helped us
awesome.
Get our camera here, which is our stream quality is way, way better. We need to coordinate about what we're going to wear because we look like the same.
Definitely have.
What do you mean, two Mexicans in the corner?
The two Mexicans are too white.
With the white-ish color.
Oh, but you're just claiming that you're mostly white, but you meant by your t-shirt, not by your ethnicity. I'm totally joking.
Both. I think both.
Come on. I get in trouble all the time for being too offensive. Why am I the offensive one? I'm the girl. I'm supposed to be cute and naive.
Or no. What Howard Stern has the girl on there for is to diffuse when he's being racist. Like, he'll be like, oh, then whatever with the blacks. And then she'll be like, ha, because she's black and a girl.
And she
just goes, ha, and diffuses everything.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I got to diffuse what she says.
Yeah, I know. There are some fires that are still burning, by the way, guys.
We love homosexuals.
Stop.
Actually, a homosexual brought her here today.
Yeah, my gay best friend brought me here safe and sound. I've been drinking all day, guys. So be prepared.
Fantastic.
This is what our intro says. Mini, tell a friend, Twitch overlay. Now we've gone on for 15 minutes about gays and political correctness and whatever. Anyway, thank you for being on again, dude.
Oh, yeah, dude. And thank you for the invitation. I'm really looking forward to spending more time here.
I realized that. So I put it out to the podcast. We have a group text.
Oh.
And I put it out to the podcast, like, should we bring in Mini? And she's like, yeah, that'd be great. And I forgot that Bobby never he never put in his two cents. So I guess we outvoted him.
Well, that's 66% right there. So
yeah.
Good.
If somebody stabbed you in the back, it won't be me. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Let me hit the hotkey on my fancy overlay here because we're going into On the Radar. I don't even know if you guys can see that. It is highlighted, though. Trust me.
By the way, in reference to the overlay, Bobby, you did such a fantastic job. I tried to compete with what Bobby could do, and it took me 2.5 hours to get nowhere. I'm sorry I wasted my own time. I probably could have beat They Are Billions at 100% instead of trying to work on this damn overlay.
What's in the background, Bobby?
I knew Bobby was working on an overlay.
Yeah. No, I like what you had going on your overlay. It was looking good. In the background of our overlay is an image that I use for absolutely everything. If we're offline, it's an image that's in the back of that. It was also used on our webpage for a lot of time. It is a profile background on Steam for a game. You guys got to know this. I've used it so many times.
Is it the pizza
Deus Ex?
One? Somebody's playing video games with a pizza?
No, it's very pixelated. It's a game that I tried to make everyone play with me all the time.
Pixelated game.
Yeah, Monaco.
Oh,
yeah,
gotcha. It's really good colors with Monaco.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that game visually, but the gameplay was just, I don't know, a little too obscure and hard to discern.
That also had to do something with the graph. Like, it's hard to tell what is what. I mean, it's so stylized that it's hard to tell. You ever play it, guys?
No.
Monaco?
I've never played it.
It's like a colorful See, the colors are great and right up like Bobby's alley. He loves like pastels. Yeah, Bobby, was that safe to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, like pastel. It's like pixelated. It's very mm-hmm. vibrant. A lot mm-hmm. of really bright colors. And the gameplay is great, but it's so pixelated, it's kind of hard to tell what's going on sometimes.
They were kind of ahead of their time a little bit because I feel like the whole jumping into getting something done with different classes as a co-op.
Yeah, like it's almost a little Streets of Rogue in there.
Yeah, a little Streets of Rogue.
Speaking of pixelated and bright and colorful, somebody tells me the new platformer of the so-called year so far is Celeste. Have you guys heard of it?
Can you bring that up, Bobby?
No.
Let's go ahead and look this up. This is improvisationally being implanted into the stream, guys. You know about it.
It's like an 8-bit graphics, like really old school. Kind of looks ugly, actually, I think.
Well, depends.
Towerfall. So it comes from the people of Towerfall, which is... Bobby, did you like it when we played it?
Towerfall? I thought it was okay.
See, I love that game.
I couldn't get into it as much as you.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's beautiful graphics. It's, 8-bit...
I said 8-bit and bright colors, guys.
Yeah.
Anyways, it is a great platformer game, high reviews on Steam, high price also for what I consider fair to pay for platformers, $19.99. But from what I hear, if you're a big platformer fan, this is the way to go. It looks like good old modern day Mega Man, but with a chick.
Yeah, I'll probably pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance I will.
That's your gem, would you say?
Yeah, 2D platformers.
2D platformers. Yeah. Dude, I have a game for you. More on that later.
All right.
Oh, what's the reviews there? Very positive. How many?
284.
Just released January 25th.
January 25th, yeah. Wow. $20. Cool. Looks good.
I bet all those people that are coming off of like Shovel Knight and stuff like that, they probably need something new. Or was the other one that with the Owlboy?
Owlboy.
I actually like that one.
I started that one, couldn't get into it.
And shout out to Raconius, actually, who brought up this title to us. You hear his name every single podcast.
Yeah, he's the number one question answer. It's funny because he must ask 3 per episode, never got an answer for anything. We suck.
We should ask him a question and just see what his response is. Put him on the spot.
It would fry the AI that we that we made to ask us questions every week.
Yeah.
A game that I saw this week that I was very excited about, Two Point Hospital. So this is a remake or a reboot or in the spirit of or whatever you want to call it of Theme Hospital. I don't know if you guys ever played that. Bullfrog Productions, I think, was the studio. You know, Peter Molyneux back in the day. Loved Theme Hospital.
They made
theme
some
park.
Good games.
Yeah. Theme Park, Theme Hospital. Both
what do you call
games.
The animation style of this? It looks
it's
very
like
much
claymation.
Something
it's very,
Wallace and Gromit
type animation. Yeah, and the graphics look awesome, but Theme Hospital still holds up. I play it on GOG every now and then, and aside from the really poor graphics, like it's still a great simulation game. Even Theme Park is good. So I hope that this sticks to a lot of the things that made that successful and just has updated graphics. But I was very excited to hear about this. It
Sometimes,
is not out.
Sometimes when you hear there's going to be a reboot of something, you feel you love the original game so much that all you want is a graphical update. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens with movies. What was that? There was a movie that came out that was a shot-for-shot remake. It had a lot of shot-for-shot. Not all of it, but it had some certain ones.
I have yet to see that movie.
God, it's so good, gee.
I really liked it.
It's the best horror movie I've seen.
I've seen the new Blade Runner without seeing the original Blade Runner. But
don't
I
watch the
love
original.
The new Raid.
Yeah,
I love the new Blade Runner.
I couldn't get into it. Like, I watched it for the first time, like, last month, the old one.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, what the... Me and Sam were like, what the fuck is this?
It's like, a cult where classic. The fuck definitely. Is my Ryan Gosling? Yeah. No, just kidding.
Yeah, so... Two Point Hospital, expected to release sometime in 2018. The graphics and the pictures that I'm looking at, they look fantastic.
Is this an insta-buy for you, Bobby?
It quite possibly is. I mean, this is something that I will absolutely play.
This is weird. This whole new world of Bobby not buying games is weird to me. What's the last game you bought, Bob?
Darkest Dungeon DLC, maybe?
Game.
Oh, actual game?
Yeah. Jesus.
Shit, I don't know.
Do you know, what was the last game gifted to you, though? Are people still showering you with gifts, game gifts?
Yeah, you know, I got some friends that always, like, toss bundle trash my way. Like, any extras they have, he gives me, and any extras I have, I'll give him.
I like how he started with friends, but then he ended up with him.
yeah, it's one dude.
And have you noticed? And have you noticed any of the messages that I've left on your Steam page at all?
I might have. They get buried a lot. I have people who post like inspirational quotes on my Steam page like all the time, and no, so I just largely ignore them.
If you want entertainment, go check out Bobby's Steam page.
Yeah, I should go to my Steam page and just read down the comments. That would be fun.
That should be a segment.
That could be a segment. Dude.
That could be a segment on our stream.
We'll see if we have time for it later.
Or our podcast. Sorry,
I don't think so though.
All right. The other game that I saw this week caught my eye, and apparently it's been out a while. It's called Foxhole. So this sounded like a great idea, but possibly very difficult to implement. So massive multiplayer game where everyone works with hundreds of players to shape the outcome of a persistent online war. So it looks from the pictures I'm seeing kind of like an RTS almost, like you control units, but everybody's working together and has to coordinate in this online war.
Wait, each
you
unit
brought
is
this up before, yeah.
No, not this game.
Are you sure?
But it does sound like something else that was
It sounds
up.
Like a lot of other things.
If not you, perhaps...
I think maybe Chad brought it up. Like way early, Bobby. I think this has been brought up.
Chad brought this up. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he did.
Is it okay to say his name now that I'm here?
What was that, new Chad?
Oh, no. That's a new title you don't want to throw out
there.
Get
ready for this.
Foxhole.
So last night I'm at a party with Sam's family. And
Tijuana.
The very first time Sam's dad asked me for my phone number. So I gave it to him. And he put me down under Nuevo Emilio, which means new Emilio. Because Sam's ex-husband is named Emilio.
Oh.
I don't care. I thought it was hilarious, but
you know, you're actually now
shut
that
up,
we
new
think
Chad.
About it. Now that we think about it, on my phone, you're actually. Let me see if I can find you. You're your first name and last name, and then Bobby is Bobby. Where are you? Are you in my phone? Bobby is Bobby Logic Gaming on my phone. That's your last name. I didn't know. I didn't know your last name, so I put Logic Gaming as your last name.
Wait, you have
that's close many. Enough.
I have you as Mini Del Maj Show, and then
my name.
Sean.
Okay.
Yeah. So
okay, there's my name
it's
now.
Really long.
Kind of didn't want that out, but there it is.
There it is.
I have a lot.
No edits.
Bobby, have we ever edited once?
I think once, maybe. Right.
We edit shit out all the time. Or at least we used to.
Except for anything that I say that is discriminatory, that goes live. So
it's not Bobby. What I don't get about this game, and I don't know if you can. If you can answer this question, are you controlling one unit or multiple units?
I don't know. Okay. I think whatever units you make, you control.
Okay.
But reading through the comments, it seemed like a lot of people really liked this idea, but also had some frustration in trying to coordinate with other people because half the player base, first of all, there needs to be a player base, which is a problem in and of itself. And second of all, you have to like, organizing people online, like strangers online, is always the most difficult thing to do. Like, everyone's got to be on board. Like, okay, this is the plan. Let's all do this. Like, everyone just wants to run around and do their own thing.
And good luck with that, right?
You know, it's a great idea, but it seems so hard to implement.
I remember telling Chad, or he who must not be named, that this is something that I would like. But when he was bringing it up, I feel like it was in early access. It wasn't a complete game.
It still isn't, right, Bobby? Or is it out?
No, it's definitely early released.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's early access still?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's definitely in early access. And I told him I was going to wait for release to try out a game like this because from what he was saying, there's a lot of glitches and whatnot.
What are people saying, Bobby, about this right now? How's the reviews?
They are, let's see, overall, I think they're, mostly positive.
Okay.
And there's a fair number of them.
It's intriguing, for sure.
Yeah, it's a great idea. So that just caught my eye. I don't even know if I'd take a chance on this game. Let's see, how much is it going for? $20.
It seems to be the huge norm now, $20.
Yeah.
$20 is pretty good. But this for an MMO, what kind of impression does that give you guys? When an MMO is launched and it's $19.99, what are you thinking about it? If it's not
I'm thinking like mobile quality.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and that was the impression I got originally when Chad was explaining it.
Yeah. It's hard to say. Until we know more about the game, it's hard to say. I kind of like the graphics. It's good enough to show what needs to be done. But fuck it. Maybe I'll give it a shot. Hmm. Bobby, we got to play. Have a game night. Do something.
Yeah.
Let's have a sleepover.
Monster Hunter World. So this game officially came out?
Well, yes, but not on PC.
Let's not forget there's a divide there.
Two reasons I'm bringing it up. One, I've never played a Monster Hunter game, so I don't know if I like them. But two, the reviews have been fucking crazy. IGN gave it a 9.5, and some other publication, I forget, gave it a 9.0. So I'm thinking it's a pretty fucking game. Polygon gave it a 9.0. So I'm excited to check it out. I believe it comes out in April. April? I might be wrong. That might have been something else. But yeah, I think I might pay the $60 for something like this.
Have you never played one before?
I've never played. I don't even. So what's have you?
Yeah.
So what's the difference between a Monster Hunter game and an RPG?
Well, Monster Hunter is, think of kind of like a Diablo type. Like loot system where you're like constantly fighting for the next big loot. Monster Hunter has a lot of like boss fights. There's like a little bit like 10% little scrub fights, and then you got the big boss fight.
Okay,
so it's just a lot of like that and
but
gear
that's
hunting.
So mostly, okay with, so it's just
so
like,
it's kind of like Shadow without, of the Colossus, where you're going out and seeking out these large bosses and these huge open world arenas. Because with Diablo, there's a lot of little scrub fights.
Yeah, there's well, I'm talking about just a loot based system, Scott.
Oh, loot based. Okay.
Uh-huh. It's just like random drops, and you try to build better gear. It's basically just boss fight, better gear, boss fight, better gear.
That's interesting. So it's like an MMO with cutting out. Are there quests usually?
There's like little quests, like kill a thing quest.
Yeah.
But nothing big.
That's weird. So in a way, it's kind of like raiding, but only the boss fights. Because it's online, right?
I don't know if this new one is.
Oh, shit. I thought but this whole time
it is online, and a lot of people are saying, unless you have friends, definitely play it if you have friends. And if you don't have friends, you're going to have a hard time.
Oh, Bobby has that one guy.
Oh, yeah.
He trades video games with.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who?
You know that guy.
I got a guy.
He cracks me up, though. Some people know him. X2LI. He shows up in my Twitch chat every now and then. Mm. He's this German dude who hooks it up with all sorts of random games. Anyway, so this is going to be released. Monster Hunter World is going to be released in autumn 2018.
Oh, poop. I might as well buy this on console.
That's going to be a while.
Yeah, did I just say that? I think I might, guys.
We might get a better version.
So,
oh, we're definitely going to get a better version, yeah. I hope.
Speaking of April release dates, the new Pillars of Eternity 2. Is got announced. Yeah, that's Deadfire.
Oh, right when I beat that first game,
did
I'll
you
be
beat it?
Right. No, hell no.
No, it was on her list.
I did get through the initial, I would say the opening tutorial.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's about 45 minutes. Good job.
I would say.
We reference Cheese List a lot. But for those people who haven't been listening,
my little black book of 2017 games.
I believe it wasn't even January. It was like March, and she's like, I want to finish these 12 games. And we're like, okay, that's cool. That's like an honorable thing. And she lists off the 12 longest, the hardest, not hardest, but just like time-consuming games ever.
No, it wasn't.
Witcher 3.
That list did not exist based on time consumption.
No, I know.
That list existed based on personal interest.
Right. It just so happened.
Also a very long game.
Yeah, my boyfriend aggro like was exceedingly larger than that list. So I don't know, guys. I feel like out of everyone here in the group, I don't know. I have the most like relationship aggro out of everyone.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
That's weird. Yeah. I'm a girl, guys.
Well,
like, what the
youngest,
F?
Though, exactly too, right?
That is like the real pains of being a gamer girl. Are you kidding me?
Bobby programs his to be exactly like he wants.
Oh my gosh, she shuts down at
negativity 5%.
Like, she never wears green clothing. Green is not her color.
She disappears. green screen. Bobby puts 5% negativity because it gets boring at zero.
Is there a, like, bring your relationship to work kind of day? Because on that holiday, we should bring our SOs to the podcast. That'd be fun,
we don't
right?
We have that many mics. That's my excuse.
We can all.
We got to share. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Bobby? What would that be like?
That'd be an interesting experience.
It'd be warm in here.
All eight people.
Bobby said exactly that because he's like, how am I going to set up the green screen in here? He's like, there's no room.
I don't know. She doesn't play video games, so I don't know if it would be that.
She is a video game. We get it, Bobby.
She is a video game.
Yeah, mine hasn't played a video game since like Paperboy for the Nintendo. So
anyway, to finish the story, she, I think, finished 3 of the 12. That she wanted to do. So that's why we make fun of it.
I think 3.5, 4. Yeah. I definitely beat Portal 2 last year. I beat Mass Effect 2.
Divinity. Those were like long
RPGs. I beat
RPGs.
Divinity.
Yeah.
And those
are lofty titles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're dense.
Hence, all no right. list this
Where
year.
Where are we at?
But let's move on.
I'm getting drunk.
All right. So my time at Portia.
Is it Portia? I was hoping it was my time at Portia. That's how I was pronouncing it. And if you look on Steam, it's my time at Portia or Portia, P-O-R-T-I-A. If you're a Stardew fan, or for me, originally Harvest Moon, people who started with Stardew, I started with Harvest Moon. This is technically what they're calling the new Stardew, except with 3D elements. What's great about this game, it's actually released and just released January 23rd with very positive reviews on Steam. It's at $19.99 and it is actually still early access. I'm sorry. I did not know that. The thing about this game, it kind of inherits all of the things that you like about Harvest Moon and or StarCraft, where it's a resource management game, a semi-simulation game where you get to customize your home and interact with the villagers and kind of go off of everyone's story. And then outside of that, the graphics are beautiful and amazing. It's colorful, and there's also dungeon crawling elements to it. So if you are at all a Stardew or Harvest Moon or farming fanatic, check out my time at Portia.
This is bringing graphics to that genre. Because
the genre has existed with graphics like this before.
Oh,
the only problem, Harvest Moon actually, PlayStation 2.
Oh,
I forgot what it's called, but 3D graphics. The problem, and actually, when I first looked into the debut of this game, my concern was the 3D graphics. I was more worried that if they put too much emphasis into the graphics, then it took away from a lot of the interpersonal interactions with villagers and or even the resource management side of it. And that's why I play these games. I play these games to maximize my farm, to maximize my
Slorness,
yeah, slutty whoreness.
Yeah,
like I want every boy at 10 hearts, but I don't say yes to proposal at all. And it is just one of the, and it's because I play these games like resource managers. I want to maximize everything.
Yep.
So I have yet to play this game, but there is a free demo on Steam. So if you are interested in trying this out, please look it up. My time at Portia. And definitely, I mean, the name is interesting enough. The reviews are extremely positive. Next week, I'll probably have a better impression because I will be diving into this game.
Cool.
If it's anything Harvest Moon-esque, I'm not calling it Stardew-esque because Harvest Moon is where it was at originally. I am going to try it out.
Cool.
How do you feel about this, Bobby? You're the only other person that put time into Stardew. Mm-hmm. It actually got Indie Game of the Year in China.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this looks good. You know, from looking at the screenshots and the videos, I wouldn't think that this is like Stardew Valley, but with 3D graphics. I don't get that impression, but I think
they're trying to put some videos and screenshots forward, they're probably trying to emphasize the action, right? Even though it might be a farm simulator. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to take pictures, you're not going to take pictures of the corn.
Mm-hmm. Why was that so funny? I don't know. I love
it. Corny. I'll be here all night.
Only because Amelia and I are the drunk ones, you know. Like that's why we're laughing at each other's jokes. Yeah, fantastic. But Bobby, I feel like if there's a game Bobby and I will both be playing, it might be this one.
So, I'm definitely interested in this.
Okay, cool.
$20. $20 seems to be the price point.
Yeah. And I bought 2 games. Okay.
All right. So let's talk about some games we've been playing.
I've got the most, so let me go first. I finally got back in Shadow War Mordor. I'm having a blast. So much fun. I talked about this early on And I'm not playing it the way it's supposed to be played. You're supposed to follow the quests, go on to the next map, do all that stuff. But this game, the whole, what do you call it, the nemesis system, is so nice and so fucking refreshing and sweet. My whole goal is just to kill all of the captains. But I think you can't. I've been down to like two captains a couple of times, and I'll be ambushed by like a new third captain, and he'll just like kick me off the first one. So I don't think that you can do what I've been trying to do. They probably need to leave some people there for the story or whatever it is. So I'm not pissed off. I actually had a lot of fun hunting down all the captains and finding out their weaknesses. Now I'm excited to actually play the actual game, go down the story mode.
I'm confused. You've been playing the game all this time, and what do you mean by playing the actual game?
So there's quests, right? And quests, yes. Finish the game. Like you finish the main storyline, which are quests, and then you get to the end of the game. I haven't been doing that at all.
You've just been free roaming, open worlds, hacking and slashing your way through whatever, no purpose?
Hunting, yes, pretty much, except for I have a specific target, and I'm trying to kill the captains. This whole game revolves around the captains.
Yeah.
And like their interpersonal connections with you and with each other and stuff like that.
What benefit did that give you as you were playing the game?
I'm leveling up, at least.
Okay.
And they drop loot, which is nice. Okay. But when you die, they all level up. And especially the guy who killed you levels up. And he learns your weaknesses. And he gets way stronger. So if I let one of these motherfuckers run amok and I unchecked, he'll become so powerful, I won't be able to kill him. Like, because he's leveling up and getting skills just like you are. And it's crazy. I mean, it kind of feels like you're playing a pseudo game of PvP with somebody else. Because
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have their own world going on. I think it's really well done. So the game is something like 80 gigs. And then the high tech...
Just subtly.
Yeah.
80 gigs.
No, and then the high-res texture pack is another 35, I believe. Jeez.
But then here's the thing. Actually, this is the first 25. Week I ever watched anyone play this game.
Uh-huh.
I've heard you talk about it a million times. I've seen trailers and the videos that we've watched over this game. And this was the first week I found somebody on Twitch that was playing this game. And I was like, wow, this game is so entertaining to watch. Mm. You don't have to know anything about the game, but just listening to the combat noises. It was so pristine and it's fluid. This game is a beautiful game. Yeah, so 120 gigs in deep, yeah. Whatever. It definitely makes up for it visually.
Now it's all relative. Like, are the extra graphics worth the extra 30 gigs? I don't know. How many gigs do you have? Like, is a game worth $20? I don't know how many $20 do you have. You know what I mean? Like, It's weird to say, is it worth your hard drive space? It definitely makes the game look better. I wouldn't... 100 gigs is one-fifth my hard drive. I'm going to leave it on there, so I guess it is worth it. I deleted some other stuff, so... I'm going to keep playing this game, having a good time.
Have you taken a castle yet?
No.
That's a really cool part of the game, when you take the castle.
Is that when you move to the next...
That's when you get like the top-tier guy, the high guy. All the way up.
See, there's no tie guys where I'm at because I stayed at the first one, trying to kill them all. It doesn't work though.
Okay, so like how it works? Like they got like all the basically the captains, lieutenants,
right?
And then they got like the two guys that are like the left and right hands of the main guy. And
okay,
the main guy. That's when you take the castle.
Yeah,
and you have all those people that you've like recruited.
How many of those are there in the game?
I don't know. One? I never beat it. No, it's more than one because I thought it was the end of the game and there's like, here's another castle. I'm like, shit.
Your princess is in another castle. So anyway, going to keep playing, having fun. Bobby, this is so funny that you put this on here because when I saw about their update, I was like, oh, I should let Bobby know that they had this huge update. And you ended up playing it.
Yeah, way ahead of you.
We're talking about
Subnautica. So this game was being advertised on Steam because it had its official release. It's been in early access for years now, 2015, 2014. I played maybe 20 hours of it back in early access. Really liked the game. It obviously had some room to improve, and it didn't really have like a through line. There wasn't a start, middle, and end quite yet. It just seemed kind of like a very open exploration survival game, but set underwater. So I played the finished version of the game, and I've been hooked on it. It's absolutely great. Everything that I kind of complained about before, they've addressed.
I'm really excited to hear more about your experiences with this. And this is a game title that has been kind of full-on sweeping any mention of any good quality single-player game that is out there. So if you've spoken about it before, I didn't pay too much attention, but now that it's becoming more mainstream...
I think it was before your time.
Why is it as amazing as everyone says it is, being that I'm interested in purchasing this game, but since you've played it, why should I purchase this game?
And the other thing, Bobby, too, is it's crafting survival, and I thought we were over those games, mm-hmm. but something set this game apart, right?
Yeah.
It's first person, by the way.
It's crafting survival, and it came out back when that was...
Such as in Minecraft-esque, or...
Kind of. Like, what's that one, like, planetary space one?
Terraria.
No, it was like one that you had bought for me, actually, not too long ago. It's in early access, too. But it's like all those games, crafting survival. So you're in an area, you have to run around, grab resources, build stuff, kill stuff, and then expand and explore. The hook on this one, I think, was that it was set underwater. So that was one thing that drew a lot of people to it. And it does look amazing underwater. Beautiful. And even now, since the update, like the biggest difference is the UI. The UI is just so clean. And the graphics even seem a little bit better, too. The UI and also the story is what really improved. Now, if you remember, I think back in 2015, they brought on Tom Joubert, who we actually interviewed on this podcast many years ago. He wrote... He did writing for FTL, The Swapper, Talos Principle, and...
very heady titles.
Yeah, big titles. And so they actually brought him on to do some writing for this game, and it really shows. Like, when I first played game, it was just, they dumped you in there. There was kind of like a plane crash at the beginning, and then you were in the water, and then you just kind of dick around and do whatever. Now, it's like an actual sequence of events. It's like, okay, there's this crash landing, you land, you get this like PDA and this radio system. There's other people that crash landed in other areas. You pick up audio logs from them, and that kind of propels the story forward. So there's progression, like things are happening, and they kind of guide you like where you need to go. And there is an ending to this game. I guess like there is a way, I'm assuming you get off the planet, like you build your base, you get all the stuff you need, and then you escape from the planet and you make it back home. I'm guessing that's the ending. I don't know, but I am compelled to like finish this game partially because of that.
It is so gorgeous. And it's been a while since I've seen a really good first person game that wasn't necessarily a first person shooter that is as vivid as this. What's that other very vivid underwater game? But we were just talking about that. Yeah. But this is all first person, so it's wow. It seems amazing. I can't wait to play it.
A little tidbit about podcasting virginity and whatnot. So when we interviewed Tom Joubert, we were like, Chad and I were so stoked. Like, he's already read off the games. Like, these are games that are known for fantastic stories, right? So we get him on the podcast. We were so excited. I get on there, and my first question or third question, like right off the top, is like, so you've worked on, I don't know, I read off like three or four things from his IMDb. I didn't know IMDb did video games, right? So I thought there was a movie version of these things.
Yeah,
I was
that's
like,
weird.
Oh, so you were in a movie of Talos Principle, huh? He's like, what? He's a British guy, right? Yeah. Super polite. I think you might be mistaken. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, hey, Chad, but it's an IMDb. Like, I'm trying to look like, cover me here, bro.
Save me, Chad.
And he's like, no, dude, you're an idiot. God, oh, Jesus.
No.
I basically fucked up all the interviews, and that's why we don't do any interviews anymore.
Yeah, we've never been too great at those. But it was really cool. I got to look that up, and I want to re-listen to it, especially after reading that book, Significant Zero.
What's the relevance of the book to this game?
Did he write it?
No. Oh. There's no connection between that. But the guy who wrote that book writes for video games. So given everything the stories I've heard in that book, it kind of, I have a new respect or looking at that stuff in a new light.
By the way, speaking of gamer books, I today off of Amazon bought Ender's Game for my nephew.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, he's 10 years old. And I swore I bought this book for him before, but maybe I thought, you know, he might be a little bit too young. So I bought him books like Holes and then Hatchet.
He might be too young at
10. No, he's half Asian.
Oh, he's Asian, yeah.
Yeah, he's half Asian. He can handle it. So officially today, I bought my little nephew, Ender's Game. And if you don't know, our very own Emilio, Mr. Ender's Logic. So I thought you might appreciate that I'm off of Amazon Prime. I bought that for my nephew today.
Overwhelming positive reviews. Oh, I haven't seen that guy yet.
Subnautica?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I played Soma, which was a first-person experience, which was absolutely compelling in regards to story mode. Did anyone play Soma with me?
No.
I haven't beat it yet, but I'm over halfway through that game.
I need you guys to at least... Yeah, so Bobby, at least one of you guys to complete the game. Because when it comes to compelling stories, Soma, it's been so far and in between that I've felt the way Soma has pushed me emotionally when it comes to playing a game.
Soma was a spiritual successor to, what's the other one?
It was kind of a standalone on its own type of...
I'm thinking of Tacoma.
No, Tacoma was post.
Yeah, oh, okay, post.
So Tacoma,
I need to play them both.
Funny enough, I actually started Tacoma and... Honestly, only maybe about 15 minutes in, but it's pretty awesome. Okay. And I want to get more into it, and then I'll get back to you about Tacoma.
But we're adults and we can't play video games because we're busy.
Is that like one of those really scary games, Soma?
No, Soma is not scary.
It's more of a thriller.
Okay.
Yeah, imagine BioShock with just as a walkthrough.
Okay, I got it.
So it's very conversational / story driven.
That's why I'm
minus
Soma.
Much action, just more so of a walkthrough.
Have you played walking simulators? Have you played Firewatch? Have you played Soma? Have you played?
I think the only one I've ever played in my life is To the Moon.
That's a good one.
Well, yeah, I guess it's super story driven. It's just not the different perspective. So after this, I'm going to set you up with my family share.
Okay,
and we're going to give you some homework.
All right,
see what you talk about.
Okay,
that'll be a new segment. Yeah. Mini plays. Things other than platformers.
Yeah. Well, Subnautica,
spice it up more than that. It's going to sound better than that.
It's $25, so I think the price has gone up since it's been officially released. On sale for $22.50 right now, and I think this would be a great game to stream, too. This seems like the perfect streaming game.
It's so beautiful.
It also seems like a game that you don't need to pay attention to.
To be honest, I know you guys know that I've been a streamer for so long, even though I'm such a scrub one. I've been streaming for 4 years, and Soma was one of my top three streaming experiences. Playing that game through and beating the game on stream, it was one of my favorite. I'm not sure if I even highlighted the thing, but Soma was hands down one of my favorite gaming experiences in the past decade. If you haven't experienced this game yet, I know we're talking about Subnautica, which is probably really awesome, but then if you want extreme story-driven emotion pushing game, Soma is the one to go.
I'll have to check that out.
Next to Sinuous.
I gotta play it too.
Hellblade, of course. Was it
I really want to play that. I almost bought it the other day.
You know what? Fuck all you guys, because nobody's played it. Like
I will.
Well, I guess I recommend everything the same. It's amazing. It's fucking
I only played 20 minutes of it in the beginning.
That's
love
the best game ever.
You buy it.
So one of those is coming up, by the way. So I only played about 20 minutes of Darkwood. actually, I took notes. Somebody else go. Overwatch. Go ahead.
Overwatch. Okay. So one thing that I failed to mention last week about Overwatch, because I was just so hyped about the Overwatch League.
Completely. And being on the podcast.
And yeah, I mean, that was like my highlight of the year, really, was the cosmetic update they had for Overwatch. They had a whole bunch of new skins, new emotes, new sprays, and which is really cool. This is the first cosmetic update they've done without having like an event to go with it. So they released a lot of eight legendary skins something like that. They released a lot of awesome skins.
I've seen some too. I think my favorite was Zenyatta.
Looks like an alien wear, doesn't he?
So sick.
Yeah. And then the most popular one was D.Va. She came out with like a little, her mech suit's like a little Japanese Neko cat.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
She's like in a little like black tutu with pigtails, like a little schoolgirl type outfit. Along with Overwatch, the Souls Dynasty lost their first game.
they were thought to be unbeatable. Like, it was pretty much in the box that they were just going to go undefeated, win the championship. And
did they lose?
You said lost their first game. Did they lose the match?
They lost their whole match.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the first time.
So first seed got... And then was New York known as, like, a dominant team?
Or yeah, New York was known to be the second best.
Oh,
dude,
gotcha.
New York, like, so stomped your team, right? Yeah, last stream we talked about how New York...
How sad we're not supposed to
New York,
about.
Korea stomped the Gladiators.
Yeah, North Korea.
And, and that, so they actually beat Seoul?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, New York beat Seoul, which is, yeah, amazing.
That's cool.
But, yeah, so yeah, that's their first loss, and hopefully it's not the last, because I really... Everybody's, like, just a big Seoul fan, because they during the World Cup, the World Cup, then they had, like, France and Canada and USA. Korea just beat everybody.
Wait, you keep saying Seoul. That's the city.
Seoul, South Korea.
No, I know. So what's their team name?
Oh, Dynasty. Seoul Dynasty.
Oh, Seoul Dynasty. That's a good name.
Yeah. Guys, remember that show Dynasty?
Yeah.
Duck Dynasty?
Duck Dynasty?
No.
See,
these fucking millennials.
These kids over here. Unbelievable. All right.
Aren't we all just 5 years apart?
What?
No.
We're not? You're older than 5 years? Let's not talk about it. Let's not talk about it. Let's not taco.
I want to hear about Darkwood, though. What's the deal with this game?
I didn't play it enough to. I'm just going to give you initial impressions. The one that I did play a game this week, guys.
It looks right up my alley.
I'm giving you initial impressions. It's a crafting. It's not a crafting survival. It's a survival horror game, but it's top down. And you know, think about maybe like. Hotline Miami, if it was like a super slow paced and you had to worry about your resources.
This might have come up when we brought this game up before. Is it as scary from that perspective?
Not even close. But then again, you know, I mean, the first 25 minutes, I haven't been sure there's creepy sounds, but here's my initial impressions. As soon as you load it up, it says you are playing a very unforgiving game. You will not be led by the hand. Respect the woods. Focus. Those are the lines. Every time you play, that comes up. I like that. I like it's setting a precedent for your experience. You can't read that and then bitch about a bullshit death like you knew it was going to come. You know. So I like that they set that up.
I feel like any game that starts with the word dark reminds you of Dark Souls and or Demon Souls, and it kind of sets up that, what's the word that starts with the P? Predecessor?
Umbra?
Oh.
I
just said it.
Precedent.
Precedent.
Yes.
That it's going to be a difficult game. This does look very much, what's that one top-down game from Source, from Steam?
The free one?
Alien
Swarm.
Alien Swarm. It does look a little bit like that.
Well, as far as the fight, like, I haven't seen an enemy yet.
There was one that we played, though. It was multiplayer. What was that one? I hated it. You and Chad were kind of into it.
Alien Swarm.
Yeah.
No. No, it was more along this lines.
Was it the one
actually
that
spent
a good time playing. Really liked?
Graphics were not very good.
Oh, no. That's
I don't know, Bobby.
I played then.
Oh, man. I've got to
find this. So there's no color. It's very drab, very bleak. It's
but
black.
No, don't underestimate the appeal to this, because when I'm looking at the trailers,
well.
It looks very...
Sometimes like bleak is done well. And
like Left 4 Dead. Left 4 Dead is completely bleak. I feel like this is a top-down... What's the point? What's the term of the game where you're using your mouse to aim?
Twin stick
shooter?
Yes. It's like a top-down twin stick,
it's more
Left 4
like,
Dead looking kind of game. Which I like about it.
It's not twin stick. It's more methodical. There's no action, really. Well, I haven't run into any action. I feel like as soon as I see a monster, I'm going to have to run. It's definitely not as scary from this perspective at all. It's very slow paced. I'm going to give it its due, but I can't because I have a new obsession. And the new obsession is dead cells. Oh, bloody cells. Blood cells?
Mm,
is it bloody cells?
Dead cells.
Dead cells is a new
dead
one.
Dead cells.
Yeah.
I put it down wrong. Dead cells. So Dead Cells, which I'm super excited to
see. Yeah, it looks awesome.
Is a roguelike Metroidvania. Oh. And I have some... This is their description right off the bat, and I disagree with it. I'm gonna put that off the right off the bat, but it's okay because they're awesome. It has pixel art, but it's gorgeous. It's done super, really colorful, vibrant where it needs to be, dark where it's not.
You know how Castlevania did it well? This is a step up from that. Castlevania meets neon.
It feels like Castlevania. Yes, it has some neon hints in it. It uses everything good from other roguelikes, but left all the bad shit out. Like, so you, of course, you start from the beginning every time. And it's not completely new every time, but they're using familiar resources every time you play it. But every time you die, almost every time, you're doing some kind of progress. I know, Bobby, you prefer that kind of roguelike, correct?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
You like to see something going on, right? And it's a lot like these games that we've been playing where, like, you take the souls that you had and you apply them to certain traits. And then you take the... But there's so many. And you can use them for unlocking traits or unlocking weapons or all kinds of stuff. There's also gold. You can buy things with gold. It's a 2D platformer.
Is anything persistent? Like when you die, do you get anything back?
This is what I was talking about. Oh. Yeah, so there's that. There is one substrate of traits that you carry on. And also unlock. Any weapon that you unlock will be unlocked for subsequent games, like a la Binding of Isaac. But what I want to emphasize here as a roguelike aficionado, like this game did this well, and this game did this well, and something was done over here, and they keep there's like a progression. But I feel like Dead Cells took all of that shit and put it in one game, all the good things, and I have yet to see a bad thing. I really like this is fucking awesome. Let me go down my list of things that I really liked. So you feel badass right off the bat. Because even though you have a shitty-ass weapon, shitty-ass shield, they give you a dodge roll, right? And there's something to be said about a really well-done dodge roll. Like, you can have a dodge roll and you put it in a game and it can feel clunky and it never gets you out of trouble. Or you could put one in there that you're like, you do a dodge roll and you come up behind the guy and you kill the guy and you're like, I'm the baddest motherfucker on the planet.
Definitely, right? I know exactly what there's you're talking about.
I feel like it's a razor hair between those two things. A clunky, not used mechanic and something that makes you feel awesome when you have a shitty sword. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then, so there's three play styles from the three type of weapons. There's the aggressive damage. There's the tactician. And there's the green, which is defensive. And weapons go into one of these three categories. And or mixed. That doesn't happen very often. But you can also boost within a game. There's so much with this game. Not the persistent stuff, but the gun, the stuff within the game. You can boost your tactician damage or your damage. It depends on like what gear you got that run. There's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of like risk versus reward. And that's the next thing I want to talk about was this time door mechanic. New. There's a new mechanic, guys. So it's like when you're playing a roguelike, you can farm and play slowly and trying to like get as much gold and souls as you can so that you can spend them onto your persistent stats, or you can run through as fast. But why would you run through? I need all this. They put these time doors where if you don't get to that door in a certain time amount, it's locked. And then you try to open the door and it's like, this door has been locked for 2 minutes and 30 seconds. Too bad. And you're like, fuck, but I was farming souls. Doesn't matter. So you have to choose, am I going to try to get through this time door in time? Or am I going to try to farm? Or maybe it doesn't even matter because as fast as I play, I still can't get that time door. I thought it was as playing millions of hours of roguelikes, like something to make you choose between those two things, farming or actually trying to rush through, Me, I think I'll probably farm until I'm fast enough to try to get to the time mechanics. But I thought it was a very welcome new mechanic into roguelikes. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. So anybody who's watched my channel, they know that I like to just rush through games. I don't care about anything. I want to get there as fast as possible. I don't care about any side quests. So I would definitely go for that time door. But what happens? What's the benefit of getting to that time door?
Tons of loot.
Really?
I've seen the loot.
Okay.
In that, it looks like Zelda, where Zelda will tease you with there's that thing right there, but I can't get it without a grappling hook.
Okay.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit, look at all that
Zelda
good
does that
glowing
so well
shit. It's fucking fantastic, but you can't get to it.
Yeah.
So, you have to applaud, too, that for a pixel graphic platformer, this is kind of one that's unique and stands out on its own. I can't compare it 2D-wise to any other game platformer that I've seen.
Maybe Hyper Light Drifter, but that's top down.
That is more top down, but it doesn't have a similar art style.
Similar art style.
Yeah.
And the teleport. It's not wasting your time. There's a teleport every, like, I don't know, let's make up a number. 100 yards. Let's say every 100 yards, there's just the RNG thing will just put a teleporter there. So you never feel like if I went down this pathway, I'm wasting my time, because you could always just teleport back. That's what Binding of Isaac really lacked. You're just walking through all these things back. They fixed everything wrong with roguelike. Perfect roguelike. That's what I'm going to say. I put like 3 hours in. I'm having a really good time. Going to continue playing this. The only reason I'm not playing They Are Billions is because I don't want to think when I get home. I've had a really rough week.
Why do you have to name drop They Are Billions? Because that's the one game that I'm always itching to play.
It's so good.
I know I don't have 4 hours to set aside. So, and mind you, one game shouldn't take 4 hours. There's this thing where on They Are Billions streams, they spell pause out with P-A-W-S. So it's like pause.
Right.
And it's a thing where they play the game without pause, and I'm nowhere close to that level. But me seeing people play at that level makes me want to at least, you know, make it up to their ankles in terms of competency. Because, and that's the thing, I know They Are Billions is one of, I think it's like number 40 in top games played on Twitch.
Yeah.
But I am so hooked on to the challenge element of that game. And here we go. Yeah. I'm not
week number
say,
five.
I'm not going to say anything about it until I actually get somewhere else with it. So that concludes my conversation with Air.
So with HOTS.
Bobby's going to be the HOTS guy. I'm going to be the They Are Billions cover.
Well, before we skip ahead too far, Project Zomboid was the game I was referring to when I was saying it kind of looks like Darkwood. Remember
Zomboid is actually hands down one of my favorite EDM artists.
Oh, yeah.
Zomboy?
I know who he is.
Zomboy?
Yeah,
he's actually a DJ.
I know
No?
Zomboid.
Decent music.
Zomboid.
But no, that game really was good. Different. That game was, you had like stats and everything. It was more of an RPG. And it was multiplayer. But I don't know. It just kind of looked like it.
No. There's no stats in Project Zomboid or an RPG.
Didn't you have attributes?
No.
Could have swore you did.
You just try to survive.
You had attributes and like bad attributes.
Oh, like, you're right. Traits.
Okay. Yeah, Dead Cells looks fantastic, though. This game has been so highly reviewed by everybody, and even just, you know, testimonials from, like, friends of mine. Like, everybody raves about this game. At some point, I'm sure I'll play it.
Yep.
But, yeah, I had a chance to play HOTS with Shadow X on the Discord. I've seen him around here and there, but he and a friend of his joined up with me and a few of my friends, and it was really good. They're very new to Heroes of the Storm, but I was able to give them a lot of guidance. I felt like it was very productive, and we won a lot of games. So, yeah, that was a good time. I'm starting to use the Discord chat a little bit more. So if you see me in the HOTS channel and you want to play, whether you're new or not, just hit me up.
So mechanically, they were already sound.
Yeah, because they had played a lot of League. So like they understood it. But every time I'm in the situation where I'm trying to like assist people who are new to the game, I realize how fucking random HOTS is. Like, it makes no sense. Like, here's League.
Wait, what? That sentence, Bobby.
Yeah, well,
how random HOTS is, it makes no sense.
Well, it doesn't compared to League or Smite. Because League or Smite, it's like you have your lanes, You go here, you go there, and you go there. And these are your jobs. You do that. And like everybody knows that shit. But in HOTS, it's like, okay, what are we playing? Blackheart's play? All right, fuck the lens. You guys come with me. You go up there. All right, you go and do this and that. All right, now we're going to switch it all around. All right, you come over here. We're doing that. It's just, it's very confusing.
It sounds like a very authentic excuse as well. So if I am running around in circles or spirals or doing the slinky when I'm playing HOTS, I can just say, Bobby said it himself. It's really random. It makes no sense. Therefore,
no,
not quite. I mean, you still have to. Well, see, that's the other thing too. And this is
it's
one of
less
my
structured.
No, there's structure. It's just harder to figure out. It's not as uniform. There's
not as uniform.
Yeah,
it's not one, two, three, four.
There's like 12 different maps. Right. Each one of them is different and can be played like five different ways.
Right.
So
okay.
So and another thing I tell people too all the time when we begin, I'm like, these games are like 20 minutes long.
What makes a good HOTS player a good HOTS player then?
I mean, number one is honestly your mechanical ability, no different than League or any other game. Like, if you know how to control your character really well, you will do a lot better than someone who even knows the macro of the game. So that's super important. So if you played a ton of League and you come over, you're off to a good start.
But Bobby, let's talk about your highlight.
What? You have a highlight?
What was my highlight?
So Bobby's like talking about, he's not playing his character. I mean, he's always playing his character, but he's playing the map, right? And explain why you need to play the map, the world map, not the mini map. And as he's doing, he's like this guy right here. Like if somebody were to engage, like I would take care. And somebody did engage right then, and then Bobby's so it's happening, and he's like, oh, I'm gonna take care, and they fucking got the kill. This guy thought he was as safe, right? Bobby, like that guy was not pushing.
There was a guy out on his own. Let's rewind here. I was playing a game and there was someone playing Illidan in my group, and he took an ability called Hunt where you can dash across the entire map. And it's called a global when you have a character that can do that. And globals are very difficult for people because you have to actually look at your mini map and make strategic positions. Like you can turn a 1v1 into a 2v1 and get kills super easy if you know how to global correctly. So this Illidan was talking shit to me about something. I don't know. I don't care. And I'm like, fuck this guy. He doesn't even know
how
to global.
This is a pro player.
No, this is not a pro player. This is just some random match I was in. I was like, this idiot doesn't even know how to global. Like right here. See, if this Kel'Thas is sticking out. Like if I saw someone attack him, I would just global right in and kill him. And someone did attack him. And then I came in and I killed him.
This was a pro player smurf.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Trying to give Bobby more credit than
But he's at least on him.
That's what I'm saying. If it were a pro player, they would have known what they had to do. And that's what I find so frustrating about a lot of these games is when I play with people who just don't know what to do. And through no fault of their own, it's just they're not that experienced in the game. But it's just if you spend a lot of time like any other game, you just see the opportunities.
So if you're brand new to HOTS, hit Bobby up. He really likes people that don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. What's sad though is my buddies that I team league with, like when we go try mode, like full try hard mode, the joke is my friends list. They're like if someone requests a join party through me, they're like, oh boy, someone on Bobby's friends list. Look at
it. Oh yeah. There
we go.
I can see that.
There we go.
What are the people on your friends list like? I've seen a couple in Discord.
I have. Well, I got a lot of people.
Do you have a gamer best friend? Like one person who you'll play cross games with? I mean,
When it comes to variety games, probably.
Come on. You and Chad were like locked down. But Bobby, do you have like a GB? Okay, so G gamer BFF, GBFF. I have one.
No, because I don't know. It would have to be someone who plays a lot of Heroes of the Storm, because that's primarily what I play.
And you haven't, after all this time, found one person who
a lot of people, they come and go. They play for me a while.
Transcend layers of video games.
What, that will play other games with me?
I just want you to tell me that you made a really good friend through all these gaming endeavors on the interwebs.
I've made a lot of friends, but, you know, it's not like I have one specific friend that...
Exactly. I think your mommy get up too much right now,
too. That's why Minnie is here on the show, right? It's because when you play with people, you know, you make a connection with somebody.
I don't think we've ever played a game together.
Well, I mean,
maybe Overwatch.
Didn't we all play?
Well, you're not my. I don't call you my gamer BFF, but like you know. But at least we're gamers who are friends, and it transcends
Bobby
different levels of gaming.
All right, I'm not going to defend them. Let's keep.
Okay, let's not defend the robot. I'm sorry.
What are we getting into? News.
I'm curious. I keep on poking. I keep on probing?
No. I mean, I have a lot of friends who, I got a couple friends that I really enjoy playing with, and I wish they just played HOTS as much as I did. They play a good amount, but not as much as I do.
What games are they playing?
Like, they'll dip out and go play HOT or WoW or PUBG or, you know, they just won't play for a while. You know, they'll have, like, something else going on, you know.
Because PUBG's good, probably.
Yeah. And, like, they'll check out other games with me as well. Like, we'll play other games, but, you know, it's, I don't know. I don't know if anyone was watching, but I did this on stream one time. Like, I made a Venn diagram. Do you know what that is?
Yeah. Wait, for your friends?
No, on stream, because I was trying to illustrate a point.
Why would you make an event? Okay, for what point?
Oh. He's trying to explain right now.
You are such a teacher. The explanation's coming after. You're making a Venn diagram. That is impressive. Sorry, I'm looking.
Because it's hard to make friends sometimes who are really good players, and I was explaining this on stream one time, and I drew a Venn diagram, and so you draw a circle that says good players, and then the other circle that says dickheads. And so the Venn diagram is the small portion of people in here are not dickheads, was the other circle. I'm sorry. So the small portion of there, the people that you're looking for are good players who are not dickheads. And that is a small demographic.
I'm in the nucleus of the dickhead.
Yeah. What's your Venn diagram? If you could concentrate the type of player that you want to play with, like that center portion, like what's the right side? What's the left side? So Bobby's so like good players versus
super hot friend, super hot girls.
The 2%
with super skilled people. So I don't play with anybody.
So you play with Chad.
So you never meet.
Yeah.
That's so funny. oh my gosh.
But it is tough to find people to play with who are number one good and number two just. I say not dickhead because that's just me being kind of snarky, but who really can handle losing? Because I play with people sometimes who lose and they just lose their shit and they can't pull it together after that.
Yes.
And they just like, I don't know. They don't even get like super angry. They get like super passive aggressive. And I'm just like, fucking come on, dude.
You know what my, Venn diagram is?
What's that?
Carry is one big circle.
Carry?
Yeah. The carry.
The carry, okay.
The carry.
Okay.
The carry is one big circle. And then the other circle is...
I thought you were talking about like, the girl that...
Goes. Other carries. Like, I don't mean like playing with really skilled carries. So like carry meets carry, yes. Like bloody carry. There you go. Just like the movies.
And on to news.
Let's do it.
New Dragon Age game from BioWare. This is kind of like mixed in.
Wait, what? I love Dragon Age.
I'm confused with their... I've read these headlines and just headlines, but there's conflicting. It says, we're going to stop everything and just focus on Anthem because we want it to be the best thing ever.
Yeah, but Anthem's not coming out until 2019.
Correct.
Right?
They delayed it. I thought it was supposed to come. Okay, so they delayed it.
Yeah,
okay.
And this is my, like, this is the game I'm waiting for. I think Anthem is going to be the shit. Apparently, they're putting in a bunch of stuff that I read what it was. Some sort of multiplayer thing that no other game has ever had before. We'll see how well that plays out. But so that's being postponed to 2019 because they literally cut production on other stuff to like pull all their assets in order to get this thing done because this is their like quotations here make or break. But then they also announced this Dragon Age game, so it's like, have you really put all your resources into it? Or I don't know, I'm more interested in Anthem than I am the Dragon Age.
Here's the thing. We have not yet played Anthem. We have all this anticipation and enthusiasm for a game that has not yet been released. Anthem, from what I see it, is a game that is pulling from all the good things that we love about Mass Effect, all the potential co-op abilities that this game is going to portray, the uniqueness, but then, you know, so close to home in terms of good quality gaming that we've had in our nostalgic past. That's what Anthem is selling itself as.
Isn't Anthem supposed to be like Destiny 2 as well?
I hope the fuck not. Stop. I hope the fuck not.
We're not talking about that game.
Stop.
We're not talking about that game.
Okay, we're not talking about Anthem. The new Dragon Age. Dragon Age and all of its sequels have been increasingly disappointing. I will
I agree completely.
Yeah.
What?
See?
Yes.
Minnie.
Yeah.
Minnie's on the same disappointment train as me. And that's what is the truth behind Dragon Age. The first Dragon Age was amazing.
The best. Origins. Yes, it was amazing.
The first Dragon Age was like
Part
Mass
two was
Effect
2. Dog shit. And then, but...
Inquisition was the worst, hands down.
Inquisition got rave reviews all across the board. I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Yeah,
but I'm just saying.
Here's the reviews, but
like,
that was crap.
Because Dragon Age 1, the original Dragon Age, was so good, I will, as a dirty fanboy or fangirl, will go back and play regardless of how disappointing the sequels were. I will go back and play Dragon Age hoping that little essence of what was good, it's like going back to, you know, like an old fling. You know, you think it's just going to be better the second time, third time, fourth time, seventh time around. You think things are going to work out for you. And that's how I feel about my Dragon Age, even though it's succeedingly kind of like ended up in a downfall, but Dragon Age, the fact that they're making a new game, I'm ecstatic. Like Anthem, the enthusiasm for Anthem is probably parallel with Dragon Age right now. Anthem itself,
I'm glad you did it that much.
I'm worried that Anthem is overpromising, and it potentially has the.
What are your thoughts on Anthem?
I never played any Dragon Age
developing.
Game.
What?
You gotta play Origins, dude.
Not big into RPGs, man. Like, I'll play some of them.
Divinity? You love Divinity, did you know?
There you go.
Yeah, I like
the hardest of the hard.
You liked it okay because you played with Chad and Emilio.
Divinity, I don't even know if I'd put that in the same category as some other of those RPGs.
But the original
Dragon Age
is much like Divinity. Yeah. Just kind of
single
like
player original Dragon Age.
But I've heard good things. So... we'll say like Dragon Age Origins, blah, blah, blah. You got to play as go. But then he's played Divinity all the way through. If he went to Origins, it'd be a step back.
No, it would not, because it's still very different. Divinity, as it's meant to be played, is meant to be played cooperatively. You can beat the game single player, but the full extent of what the Divinity experience is meant to be played cooperatively.
Raise your hand if the Divinity is better than Dragon Age Origins. Divinity
honestly,
is better than...
Yes, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, but...
We're
Dragon
done here.
Age,
moving
Dragon
on.
Age as a single-player experience at its time, when it
at
was
its
originally...
time. That's the thing.
When it was originally released, Divinity wasn't
like,
in the picture.
Bobby!
Bobby!
You haven't played...
Well, you were...
you haven't played Dragon Age?
Amelia, it was that.
You know what I'm saying?
While Bobby was distracted by all of his fucking library trash, he missed out on an original Dragon Age.
Yeah,
that
was well
hands
aware of that.
Down.
It's just,
hands down one of the best single-player experiences at the time,
at the time
RPGs.
Now, it's really
how did you miss out on that,
this
Bobby?
Time.
I respected
play
you.
A lot of RPGs. Like I don't like I played one Final Fantasy game my entire life.
What?
Final Fantasy 3. Like I'm just not into RPGs, especially like the fantasy like you know the whole the fantasy realm. Right. I'm not into those. Like if you throw Mass Effect my way, I'm like okay, sci-fi, I can kind of get into that. But if I see like fucking dwarves and wizards and shit, I'm like who the fuck is no.
I mean, you were balls deep in World of Warcraft though.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't care about any of that.
Okay.
Dude, I'd be fucking click, next quest. What do you need?
Right.
25 pigs? Got it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I don't know. Dragon Age, maybe. I think I tried to play 2. I think I tried to play 2 and made it like 10 minutes in. It's like, nope.
Yeah.
I need to shoot something in the face. All right. Next up. Speaking of shooting something in the face. So I saw this and I laughed. A Duke Nukem movie starring John Cena might happen, possibly directed by Michael Bay. This is such a horrible idea, but I want it to happen.
That's a testosterone overload.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect, right? John Cena, Duke Nukem, Michael Bay, perfect director.
Definitely.
Terrible idea. Nobody gives a shit about Duke Nukem, all right? This would do so badly, but I want to see
Postal,
it.
Postal, though.
Postal?
That movie? Yeah, they made a Postal movie.
They made a Postal movie?
Exactly. Nobody knows about it. It's a piece of crap.
Yeah, it's probably terrible.
Yeah, but these are giant names.
Yeah, these are big names.
Yeah, pretty big names. So,
I mean, first of all, Duke Nukem is just, what do they call that? Something out of its time, an anachronistic.
Anachronism.
Yeah, it's just, nobody gives a shit about Duke Nukem anymore. He just doesn't fit. Like, he's not funny anymore. He's just kind of, like, cheesy.
Yeah.
And I think that was witnessed by that game that came out and was not well received.
Yeah, he was cool in 96.
U-Bowl. Yeah, U-Bowl has directed a lot of terrible video game movies.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I love Duke Nukem. Like, I love those games, and they're a part of my childhood, but, like, that's a lot of nostalgia talking, and I would be into it. I would totally see this movie in the theater. I don't think the girlfriend would go with me on this one. She probably wouldn't enjoy that, but...
I'll be your girlfriend for that day.
Okay. But,
how much do you pay for a hologram to get into movies?
You know, they get in free, the 3D movies.
Nice. But, boom.
But
from downtown,
you know, it would be a horrible movie. You know, it would flop. Like, the reviews would be terrible.
Yeah.
First of all, video game movies don't do well in general.
Are we talking about Ready Player One?
Nope. No. The Duke Nukem.
And moving on. Twitch ViewBots makers sued for $1.4 million. By who? I forgot. I'm going to want to put this up there.
Have you guys ever been ViewBotted before? It's happened to me.
You once did. I was there.
You were there?
Yeah. You were, like 120 viewers in the middle of the night.
And they were all fake. And then I've also been follow-botted. And they think they're doing me a favor. They think they're doing me a kindness. But in actuality, I don't want 800 fake followers. Yeah. I don't want 100 fake viewers.
I don't know what
the benefit.
What are they getting out of it?
Yeah, what is the benefit?
I don't know. Bobby, did you read the whole article?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. So it's these two people up in Canada that were running this service, and you can go to these websites and you can buy follows and you can buy views and all that stuff to kind of jumpstart your stream, you know, to help you get more exposure. And it's kind of ruining the experience for Twitch and legitimate streamers, obviously. So that's why mm-hmm. Twitch is suing them for quite a bit of money.
But she obviously never bought any. Mm-hmm. People, right?
Yeah. No.
No, they just came one night. Like,
well, I wonder
know.
If people were doing it just to try to sabotage you, maybe, to make it look like, you know,
yeah,
to get you caught. If yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the motivations behind that would be.
Good old view.
Maybe you're just that awesome, Gene. Maybe you really did have those people.
No, it's either, I feel like it either happened through sympathy, like somebody wanted to promote me, or it might have
all
been
all it takes is one person to mention you, one like big streamer be like, hey, check her out. I'm having a good time watching her.
And I'm then, horrible at that, though. I'm even horrible at posting on social media and all that stuff.
Tell me about it.
I know, right? Ask anybody. But anyways, it's just one of those things where... especially, and I know I was a streamer before I was a bartender. Not sure if you guys know this. I've been streaming for 4 years. I've only been bartending for 2 years. And when it comes to bartending, I work in a small, intimate dive bar. That's how I even met you guys, at DLG. And it's one of those things where I'm content at my dive bar. I'm content with a small, regular crowd, with faces that I see, with very intimate, interpersonal interactions.
Yeah. Everybody knows
and
your name.
Where there are a lot of Twitch streamers out there who I knew and who started the same time I did, who now get 200 viewers per stream, and I'm my scrub-ass self. I actually have less viewers per stream than when I did when I first started out, maybe my first or second year, probably even my first fucking month. But we're not talking about that.
We're talking about Micro Center. Micro Center will give you...
the authenticity of the viewer is what's important to me, because I started out on Twitch as a Justin.TV convert. I was on Justin.TV. People don't know that Justin.TV turned into Twitch TV a lot of the times. And I was a viewer before I was What?
What?
You don't know about Justin.TV?
I'm just kidding.
Oh, no.
All right.
But anyways, yeah, it's just one of those things where I would rather have the real interaction between, like, rather than, like, you know, Emil, you're not even looking at me. I'm looking directly
at
you.
I'm reading the Twitch chat.
I'm looking directly at you.
Cougar swallow babies.
I can't look at Bobby for eye contact, so I need somebody here. Come on,
Emil. I think Borconia should stream. He should do an IRL stream. I want to see his life out there.
Who's that?
The Canadian wilderness.
Oh,
Borconia.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that ViewBots, fuck you, get sued. Let's
All I'm saying to you is Micro Center will sell you a GPU at MSRP if you promise that you're playing.
It's the most forced segue ever.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So in response to all this stuff that's been going on, shortage of GPUs, Micro Center is selling people GPUs at MSRP, which is
that's great wicked
on their part. But is there a Micro Center anywhere near us?
Have you guys ever bought from a Micro Center?
Do they not have an online?
I have bought online from Micro Center.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I was actually going to ask, is Micro Center a brick and mortar store? Because I've never
seen
one.
They used to have one out here a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know
one,
if it's still here.
They're going to sell out instantly because they put this out here. And two, great marketing employee on their part. Like, just saying that is enough to, like, sell all the graphics cards they have. Like, it's a great PR move, which is what I thought NVIDIA was making last week. But here we are. We're in this weird spot where graphics equal money somehow.
And, well, it's not just graphics. It's everything now. It's like memory. It's got even power supplies. Like, I've just come to accept the fact that there's no way I'm building a new computer in the next 6 months. Like, maybe this will change in 6 months, but not any sooner.
Here's the thing, though. Considering the prices, us being build our own rigs for as long as we can remember, would you change your old ways, as in custom building that?
If your computer blew up right now, you need to buy a pre-built. That's the only way to go.
I guess that's the way to go. That's true.
That's the only way. And there's good
to
options
save money
out there.
I would, because especially since the turnover on hardware isn't as bad as it used to be. Like, I bought my 970 how many years back? Three? Two? No, and it's still perfectly fine. It's good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Moving on.
Sad news.
So Scorm was saying that you need to buy, like, other components to get the discount. The CPU, mobile, and power supply to get that GPU discount.
Oh, that's the way that you prove that you're building a new rig.
Yeah, instead of just, like, yeah.
So you're basically buying a pre-built in order to get that MSRP price.
Wouldn't call it pre-built. Like, you pick your own part.
A half
you're
pre-built.
Yeah, you're buying the skeleton.
Yeah.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. The nervous system.
Anyway, yeah.
See, I thought they were just doing like a limit one or two per customer or something like that, but I suppose there's ways around that.
Bobby, on this next one, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a company and you were making way more money than you expected to because one of your products, your hologram girlfriends are like selling off the shelves.
Wait, there's more than one?
But now your Hershey bars aren't selling so well, right?
What is going on here?
Like, would you not sell your Hershey bars anymore? Would you not hire people to sell your Hershey bars? Or would you just cancel your Hershey bars completely because it's only 10% of your...
I don't know if the analogy works because you're talking about selling stuff off the shelf. These are people like working on ongoing projects.
That's why I'm trying to understand because I
would put all my resources into whatever makes me the most money. And I think that's exactly what they're doing here.
But with the money that's bringing in, wouldn't you be able to buy a workforce to sell the other product? That's what I don't understand.
The other product.
Everybody we're talking about, Paragon is shutting down in April. And that's where I got April in my mind. They're making so much money with Fortnite that they're shutting down Paragon, which they put so much money and time and effort, and it's definitely a solid game. Nobody can say it's not a solid game. I don't understand why they wouldn't take money from the profits they're making and put them into Paragon.
Because they're losing money on Paragon? Why would you put money into something that you're losing money?
Like every other large evil corporation, they just follow the money trail?
I guess.
Has anybody here played Paragon seriously, like more than just like a day or two?
No.
Because I played this game religiously, like back in early 2016, and I loved this game. Like, it was my MOBA. I played this game daily. I thought it was like the greatest thing ever.
Did you play other MOBAs?
Yeah, I played all pretty much every MOBA that's come out, but this is like my favorite. But it went through a lot of changes, most of which I didn't like. The new map I didn't like. They had like a new card system, new ability system. They changed my favorite hero completely, like completely reworked Kalari. She just didn't work the same. And after that, I was like, I can't play this game anymore. And after the new map came, a lot of people jumped ship. A lot of like the original backers jumped ship. But the good thing about this is Epic is refunding all money that you put into it.
Yeah. I didn't know that this MOBO was a pay-to-play or initial purchase costs.
Yeah, it originally was like a, well,
it was a MOBO that you actually had to buy into?
I think it is free. I just bought a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's free.
Maybe at
some point you bought into the beta, but yeah, there's cosmetics and things.
Bobby, think about this. What if Heroes of the Storm gave you all your money back?
Oh, my God.
How much? What would that check look like?
Oh,
can we guess?
Come on. There's a lot of money, man. I dropped a lot of money.
Come on, come on. Let's just...
embarrassing amount. Yeah.
We're all friends here. Nobody's listening. What would that check from Blizzard to...
That check is paying some game master salary for World of Warcraft.
No, I get
it. Blizzard is huge.
What would the number be?
Oh, a lot of money. Keep this in mind. I own every cosmetic in Heroes
of the
Storm.
One more time.
Is there like a purple?
Bobby, what would that check be if they said no more Heroes of Storm? You get all your money back. What would that check look like?
More or less $5,000.
No, probably not that much. Definitely more than $2,000.
Okay.
I'll tell you. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep, it's a lot of money, but hey, you should see my cologne collection and my shoe collection, and you should ask me how much my taillights cost.
I have seen your cologne collection. I was pretty impressed.
I've seen your shoe collection, and I know you didn't buy half those shoes, Bobby.
I bought all those shoes.
Even the colorful ones?
Oh, those ones? No, someone gave me those ones.
Yeah, I thought so.
That's what I was
doing. The ones with color? No, those were good.
No, no. But my running shoes are very bright. They're bright neon green. Like in the gym, yeah, I'll wear whatever, but... No, I used to color coordinate a lot, and that's actually stripped down. Like, I've gotten rid of a lot of shoes since I moved into my place. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So Paragon's shutting down, and a lot of these people that played this game are now flooding to other MOBAs. We've had a lot of people come over to Heroes of the Storm. There's been Reddit posts about it. I think a lot of these people are going over to Smite, yes, since that's the most similar thing.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well from Smite players.
If you're not playing Dota, who cares? I'm kidding. I haven't played Dota in like a year.
All right, let's get over to feedback.
All right.
I had my own question. Maybe for Bobby, maybe for whoever can answer.
You know what? This is a good question. Before we move on to any question, Waconius live in Twitch chat asked what Bobby's favorite cologne is.
Oh, that's so easy, man. I'm going to tell you, the best cologne there is out there, Cool Water.
I thought you were going to say
from
that.
Who?
I know you're going to say
who makes Cool Water?
Cool Water, Davidoff. It's from like the 80s. Davidoff?
I don't wear cologne.
I used to
wear that.
I was gifted cologne for Christmas, and my niece who bought me an $85 cologne, I don't even know the name of it.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, I don't wear cologne.
I wear one cologne. I won't tell you guys because you guys won't respect me, but everyone loves the scent of mine. I don't wear cologne. I'm sorry, perfume.
I'm a clean individual.
I only wear one perfume and everyone loves it, but I won't tell them who actually develops my perfume because I've been wearing it for 10 years.
Sex Panther?
No, no. He's just reading the comments. That is not my perfume. Mm-hmm. Trust me, you don't get to know my perfume, but you get to smell my perfume.
You don't want to stick with one perfume or cologne, though. There's different scents for different occasions, evening wear, you know, early afternoon wear. Yeah, yeah.
I have one very stagnant
perfume. There are colognes that I have that I would never wear at night or...
Why do you have them then?
Because I wear them during the daytime.
Oh, strange.
Yeah. And there's ones for certain, like if I go to a formal occasion, I have a cologne.
Wait, so in a 24-hour window, you will use more than one cologne at a time?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cologne wears off.
Yeah. So weird.
Or if you're going to go to an event, like an evening event, you're probably going to shower before that. You know, at least I do. And you're going to put Britney Spears. Actually, she doesn't have a bad perfume.
Yeah, her shit is good.
It's more for a younger
Britney
type. Yeah, I could talk cologne for
or
a while.
Forever here, young type. Hello,
about,
Bobby.
Bobby's thought more about cologne than I've ever thought about breathing. All right.
Somebody asked me to like smell test everyone tonight, and I don't think I need to smell test everyone. I think Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
And my joke was Bobby doesn't have a smell. Robots
cologne?
Don't have smells.
Yeah, I wear cologne every day.
But wow. Bobby, I guess Bobby smells the nicest every day.
Oh yeah, dude, I have like a fucking ritual in the morning. It's straight up like American Psycho, dude. Like I've got all sorts of lotions and exfoliation.
Or is it like Memento, where you're just reading your tattoos, kind of like coming?
No,
about to the day.
Guys, don't get it twisted. He doesn't smell like an Armenian.
I need to get the gold chain. Yeah. Show off the hairy chest.
I've never smelled cologne on Bobby, so it's very light.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Bobby is so adamant on this routine. But
generally, I don't like cologne or perfume. Like, I don't like perfume on
girls.
You
guys are very notorious for no scent. Like, I've been around you guys for almost 2 years now. And my very own boyfriend doesn't really wear cologne much at all. So any scent that I pick up off of you guys, I would consider a natural scent. Yes, Emilio, that too. And I haven't really, and I have a very keen nose. I used to play a game with my mom when she would pick me up from elementary school where I could guess what she was cooking. She always had food ready for me after school just by smelling it off of her. And no, shut up, fucking Amelia. But here's the thing. Yes, I have a very keen sense of smell. And Bobby, I'm sorry. I guess we don't get close enough for me to smell you. That's weird.
Yeah, you can't smell it on him.
Bobby is known as a no scent, no emotion, no soul kind of person. I'm so surprised. No, just kidding.
No game. Really, all right, let's move on.
Yeah, but you don't want to like step into it, like especially a room this size. You don't want to step into that and just overpower people with your scent because if you really like a scent, that doesn't mean everyone else is going to either. Fucking patchouli oil.
So Bobby is so. What's the word? He's so. Immaculate, not immaculate, but
I think that works.
Yeah, well, let's go with immaculate.
So immaculate with his cologne,
Bobby. I was curious.
It's never overwhelming and or distinctive enough. It's correct. Just
I've never even.
It's well, just Bobby.
He's never smelled bad. I'll give him that.
Yeah, for honestly, yeah.
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 Wow, thanks, I've smelled bad. There's me and Chad. We'd show up. We're like, guys, we got to keep our arms down.
I mean, I used to keep my bare feet like right there on your. I would put my bare feet on your lap.
Only one time you showed up smiling.
I like these impromptu listener questions coming out of Twitch chat. We just took that one for a ride.
All right, I have a question, Bobby. Why are cutscenes and trailers not in 16:9? Like, why aren't they widescreen? Like, you'll be playing a game in widescreen. And then it comes to the cutscene, and it goes back to like a regular tube television.
Are you talking about like 4:3?
More,
Yeah, like well, a square. Screen.
Yeah,
like more. Letterbox.
Yeah, it goes back to. Square.
Are you saying cutscenes are letterbox?
Sure.
So
whatever is the square one,
that's 4:3.
Okay. Yeah. Why does everything revert to that?
What games are you playing?
Because like Shadow of Mordor goes back to 4:3. Every
gross.
I watch. A trailer for a Monster Hunter World today, and it was in that.
Okay, well, you're playing on a ultra-wide monitor, though, right?
Yeah,
like, aren't you playing on an ultra-wide resolution?
Yeah, but it's not going to, like, regular 16:9.
Yeah, so you're playing
on to, like, a square.
Well, I don't know why that is, but you're playing on a 21:9 aspect ratio.
Right.
So a 16:9 aspect ratio, I don't know what that would look like on your monitor, but... I haven't played a game in like 10, 15 years that has used a 4:3 format.
Not by the
cutscenes.
Not the game. I'm just talking about the cutscenes.
Yeah, the cutscenes.
I don't remember any game with cutscenes recently. I haven't played any.
I was playing Wolfenstein. That one too. I would
no
do
cutscenes.
That one did it, right?
No, it's all the same because
I'm in the ultra wide. Maybe it's going like even more.
Yeah,
it frustrates the hell out of me.
So it stays. 16 yeah.
Right. No more questions from this Emilio fella. Let's keep going.
All right.
The entire Discord asks, who has the best pizza?
Zachary's, San Francisco. I was so like, you know.
Well, if we were going to say that, I'd say Luigi San Diego. But
Luigi's really?
I've never had Luigi's. I always forget. Like, I need to remember just to try them because I've tried. I can give you a mountain of suggestions. And if you want the full answer, go into the Discord chat because I laid it out there. We were talking about cheap pizzas, so like Pizza Hut, Domino's. So I have my own specific order. At the very bottom of the barrel is Little Caesars. You don't want to mess
correct.
With that stuff,
yeah,
folks.
Correct.
You will pee out of your ass after that.
Oh, yeah.
Right above
cheese
that.
On cardboard?
Yeah. Well, right above that, I would put Domino's. They're not good.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
What?
When was the last time you had
Pizza
Domino's?
Hut over
all
Domino's?
The fucking time.
No. When was the last time?
Pizza Hut over
less
Domino's.
Less than a week ago.
Papa John's over
they're
Pizza
on
Hut.
Fire. Domino's is at the top of the heap right now.
Their
yeah,
thin crust
making
is
it
okay.
to your front door.
Yeah. I love their delivery system.
Yes.
That's what they got going on. Their pizza, not great unless you get the thin crust.
Disagree.
Right above them, Pizza Hut. Good, but very greasy.
Yeah.
Wait, like who super eats greasy. Carbs anymore? This is 2018, people.
I weigh like 7 pounds.
It's pizza. Yeah, Minnie does weigh 7 pounds.
Yeah. Okay, and yes, then right above them, I'd put Papa John's. And I don't know if that's a local thing, if they have it. They have that.
It's nationwide.
For fast food, I disagree. Papa John's is on the higher end of my list.
I mean, I disagree.
But
with...
I do, Pizza Hut, I'm not sure if this was kind of a thing for you guys, but if you were a really good reader... And back in the day, you would get free pizza, personal pan pizzas. That. Oh, you pizza. Remember. Yes. Yeah. If you read your books, you got free pizza from
school.
Yeah,
over the summer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Do you remember that, Emilio? Do you remember that, Bobby?
Okay.
Okay.
But if we're talking about real pizza, like, I'll give you the San Diego tour. There's a ton of great spots.
You can't speak until you've been to Luigi's.
Bronx Pizza, San Diego, hands down. San Francisco, Zachary's, Deep Dish. And the New York style San Diego. San
Go
Diego,
ahead, Bobby.
New York.
Bronx only accepts cash and they close early,
Deep
though.
Dish.
So that one, it's good pizza, but they don't
Because
really
they're gangster, me. Like the Bronx.
Yeah, yeah, they got to put up that persona. Ciro's is my personal favorite. Thin crust, great
Where?
Garlic knots. Ciro's, downtown. Downtown, yeah. They stay open till 2. They're right by all the clubs, so people pour out
Have
of there.
Have you had Bronx pizza, Bobby?
I've had Bronx. Bronx is good. They're just not my favorite. Ciro's is my favorite. Also, way up there is the place that we took, Lab Monkey. I took Tag there. What's that place?
Jesus.
Where is it?
It's in Little Italy.
Filippi's.
Filippi's Pizza.
Now, that's a different experience.
That place is pretty good.
So good.
Heads up on that one. You will get a stomach ache. It is so fucking good, and you'll eat too much of it, and your stomach will hurt.
I don't know how they make a profit, because they only have one size. They only, and it's a large, and they put at least 3 pounds. This is not.
So much cheese, man.
Not over, this 3 pounds of mozzarella on every cheese. Fucking
but does clear. It weigh out with the sauce? Because too much cheese, it's got to have a good sauce.
I love the cheese. Too much sauce will fuck a pizza up for me. Like if you go to Lefty's Deep Dish down over in
Lefty's sucks. Have you been to Zachary's? Tell me you've been to Zachary's.
Never been.
Have
right,
you
been to Zachary's? Nobody's from San Diego.
All I need to tell you is Zachary's up north in NorCal. If I mean you're from San Jose. Emilio, no. Where's Chad?
No, I'm from there, but I just never heard of Zachary's.
Zachary's? Yeah.
No, moving on. Zachary's.
I almost uppercutted a dog once because he ate my pizza slice while I wasn't looking.
Well, nobody likes dogs.
I love dogs.
I do want to say that someone brought up something in Discord when we were discussing this. I said, you know what used to be good? We used to have these places called Hungry Howie's out here.
That place is amazing.
Yeah, Mayo was like, oh shit, we have those in Ohio. Yeah. And I was like, dude, really? Those still exist? I thought they had just been erased from the planet.
Never heard of one.
They have like this flavored crust you can get.
Yeah, it was all about the flavored crust.
Wait, if they were the shit, they'd be expanding, not...
You'd think so, man.
Yeah,
right?
Don't know what happened, but they were amazing pizza.
Could be you get like the butter cheese or the garlic crust.
The Cajun crust was my jam.
Oh, the Cajun?
Ooh, yeah. Cajun.
Yeah. I bet Zachary's could be, they are billions. He's making his own commentary over here.
I wish, I knew Cricket physically so I could just slap him.
Physically? Ooh, like inside of her?
No, not in that sense.
Inside.
Stop contouring my words.
In the biblical sense.
Kellex.
Shut up.
Kellex asks, do you know the way?
Oh, do you know the way? Show me the way.
The way I take this is, has everybody seen the video?
Yes. We have all seen the video.
Yes. Yeah.
And does everybody
the queen.
Think it's
there can
funny?
Only be one queen.
Does everybody think it's as funny as it?
I think it's fucking hilarious.
The first time I saw it, I thought it was funny as hell, but now it's just kind of too much.
Yeah, it wears out. But you got to understand that anytime there's any big meme like this, it has been just played out entirely within 24 hours for me. I go to my work and I work with a bunch of kids and I just hear a bunch of 11-year-olds shouting whatever the most popular.
Do you know the way?
Show me the way.
And I'm just immediately over it. Like if you want to be over anything, just, you know, have it come out of the mouth of kids.
Or I will, the parallel to that is playing PUBG. Bobby, that whole fucking 45 seconds you have to wait with all these 100 other people that are on the internet, just like, you can shout whatever you want,
China number
including
one.
The N-word.
China number one.
And China number one.
Chicken number one.
Goes, yeah. Goes, do you know the way? I mean, it's
do
just
you know the way?
It's the same thing. I think,
show me the way. Yeah,
anyway. It just gets played out.
We know the way, and the way is lost.
Yeah.
Sniper, what was the last time you held a physical magazine related to gaming?
Oh, I did. Sniper, I still... If you didn't know, I actually worked for GameStop for 6 years.
If anybody didn't know.
Yeah. No, I went. You didn't know?
Everybody
no,
knows.
Everybody knows. Everybody knows?
Yeah.
From the age of 15. From the age of 15 to 22, I worked
for GameStop. Oh, 15 to 22.
Yeah. So I actually, I still subscribe to Game Informer and whatever their magazine subscription is. Every single, I've never not been a member, so I always keep the Game Informers next to the toilet. So
they still make those?
Yeah.
Oh, you still get them?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. I was going to say the same
thing.
And
that controller that I bought for the podcast, 10% off.
Oh. Oh, it's for life?
Baby. No, I still pay $14.99 for a year, I think. That's a good price.
Yeah, you got it back.
That's a really good price. Yeah, in one purchase. Support your local GameStop.
Chad signed up for like something sometime, and we got Game Informers forever. Like until we moved out. We were getting Game Informer, so
I would not be opposed to getting Game Informers. Like I miss having a physical magazine that I can just kind of flip through and check out. Like
they're very like I would get PC Gamer instead.
Yeah, PC Gamer for sure.
Because what you have to give Game Informer was huge. Like their photos were huge, really nicely done. Color, they went like top notch as far as the like presentation.
Mm-hmm.
PC Gamer, I think you're gonna start getting like smaller format and like not as high quality paper, but it's what we're talking about, right? So PC Gamer is better in that way, but Game Informer does it right. Like, but
yeah, but it's like any sort of a gaming centric, whatever magazine or website, like every time I see like something that's just about gaming in general, there is a large portion of that that doesn't apply to me, that I just cut out because it's just console gaming. So, you know, I really wouldn't care. PC Gamer, I would much prefer that.
Yeah. I had my, you write into the editor or whatever. I had that submission printed in a Game Informer.
No way.
I was pretty happy about that, yeah.
What
was your question, and what game was it about?
It was about Halo, and I think it was at the time Microsoft was acquiring Rareware. So it was about... So I was wondering if like what games can we expect to come to the Xbox? Because I was an Xbox fanboy at the time. So I was like, I don't know, 16.
Enough out of new Chad. I was just waiting for a new for you to put yourself out there.
It's never going to happen again.
That's pretty cool, though.
What's next?
Atrocious asks, do you guys think the Battle Royale trend will continue in 2018? Do you think any big developers will jump in with their own Battle Royale games? In the end, gamers are the ones that win because with more competition, PUBG and all the others will be forced to improve.
Well, I'm not sure who's making it. I don't think it's a big developer, but I know that Project X was... announced, and we read it up on the podcast. And the stills looked really beautiful, and they're gonna have up to 1,000 people. Do you guys remember us bringing this up? 1,000 mm-hmm. people
a long time ago, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And we saw you see some still shots of grass, but who knows if anything's gonna come about it. But apparently, they have some new technology that makes the server be able to hold 1,000 players and all this stuff. So, that's one. That's the big one. That's the one people actually are talking about. I would imagine at least 3, 4, 5 games. But they're going to learn real quick how hard it is to have this many people on a server and for those people to be happy. Even right now, Battle Royale is going through all kinds of crazy shit right now. People are very mad at them for changing something. So it's not an easy thing to do.
Well, apparently, Paladins is getting a Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, and they called it Battle Royale.
That's
just straight up.
Yeah.
See, I see a lot of games taking that route. Rather than build your own Battle Royale game from the ground up, why not take a game? Because, all these ability shooters is what we call them. But, all these Overwatch or Lawbreakers, all these games, they were popping up not too long ago. How easy is it to take a game like that and just say, hey, now we're just going to make it into a Battle Royale. Yeah. We're just going to change the format. That seems a lot easier than making it from scratch.
I even read TF2 had somebody was modding it to have a Battle Royale mode.
Oh, that would be fun. I would play a TF2 Battle Royale.
Yeah,
that'd be so much fun.
It's eventually gotta die away, right? I mean, people are just going to stick with PUBG and, the big ones. And I don't know. I think it's like MMOs. It's like it's an oversaturated market.
Can you imagine having this conversation when Deathmatch was entering the market?
It wasn't like that back then. Back then, it was like, I don't know.
It's a different landscape.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't that many games out at the time.
It wasn't like a huge market, just PC gaming in general, or even maybe even gaming. Like, I don't know. I don't know if everyone was trying to make, well, no, maybe they were. Like in the 90s, everyone was trying to make the next best shooter, but there was more of a focus on single player games back then.
Yeah.
I feel like Battle Royale now is the more sought after competitive mode versus Deathmatch, because we all know Deathmatch, tried and true. But with me and Deathmatch especially, it's if I'm not playing with a particular group of people, then I won't enjoy myself. And with pubs, more especially, I won't enjoy myself. And with Battle Royale, what's really nice about Battle Royale is that you can go single or you can go squad. Yeah. And the overall reward that you get is extensive. It seems like that chicken dinner, that prize, that trophy, that revere that you get at the end of the game. I mean, that sells more than... Well, I mean, think about it. CSGO, no one's really... I mean, people are still very much hardcore CSGO fans, but with their constant patches and their new ranking systems and everything else, like a chicken dinner is like instant reverence versus...
Not instant. You working. Gotta work for that shit. But
I mean...
It does feel super...
Depending good. On who you are. But... I'm just kidding, Amelia. But, like, it's so much more rewarding. And that's why Battle Royale is kind of just pushing out the other competitive modes, in my opinion,
to sum it up, for the moment. I think Battle Royale might be the genre of the day. Right?
Yeah.
Well, you put it as a genre, and Marconius in chat right now just put up that it's a game mode, not a genre. I think it is very
much... It's a genre.
I don't see much of a difference between the two. Game mode, genre. I mean, the terms are interchangeable, at least to me. I don't know. Deathmatch is just so archaic, though. I mean, just running around shooting people and having a scoreboard is... that's only fun for an hour tops these days.
It sounds like somebody who's never tasted chicken.
No.
Move it on. Like,
for me, I still prefer Deathmatch over Battle Royale, but only on the basis of what my team makeup is. You know, like having a 5-man team versus, you know, a 4-man squad within 100 versus a 5-man versus a 5-man. I mean, there's there's significance in terms of like your social interaction there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're saying deathmatch, when you're saying deathmatch, are you also talking about like Counter-Strike, like objective based game modes?
Yeah, mostly like 5v5, 10v10, like very, the competitive structure that we're used to.
That's not what deathmatch really means to me. Yeah. Deathmatch really? Is just like a bunch of people running around shooting each other.
I think of deathmatch, I think of scrimming. When you guys hear deathmatch, you think of
there's
what?
There's like a lot of terms Battlefield, being thrown Call of around Duty? Here, a lot of definitions.
Yeah, that's what I thought you were talking
words.
About. Words, like deathmatch, team deathmatch.
Leisure Suit Larry Battle Royale.
Okay, I guess it is a little bit different.
All right.
If you could be an animal, which
I honestly miss, like scrimming 5v5. Yeah. You know,
no, it was good times, definitely. Yeah. Back in like the
classic
days.
Structure, right? Yeah. I mean, you guys. I mean, I know Amelia's hooked on to Battle Royale. You're hooked on to PUBG, but Bobby won't even touch it anymore.
I'm not talking anymore, too.
Okay, I guess we're not. Am I mumbling or rambling on?
No, you're good. Let's. What the hell's going on? Where are we at?
Am I drunk? I can't comprehend what's happening
on the
right
podcast,
now.
Amelia just gave Chi the weirdest look while having his nose touching the microphone.
I don't give a fuck about anything
you're saying right
who's
now.
Who's more
look.
Drunk, you or me, Amelia?
Know,
like, who's more. In tune right now. I don't know.
We're all out of it. But let's move on to the next question here. Coming from Warconius, always got the questions. If you guys could be an animal, which one would it be? Great question. Who wants to go first?
Human first.
Human?
But if that doesn't count, then I guess gorilla.
Really?
Gorilla? Yeah, gorillas are close.
That's a horrible stereotypical answer for you, Emilio.
I mean, manly shit.
Right. I've actually been asked this recently by somebody who's like really into like personality tests and things like that. She's asking me. It was actually
is
cat,
she,
by the way.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And yeah, she's talking about like how like what your spirit animal. She's like really going into depth about how a spirit animal works, and like the most I can get out of it is just basically what's your favorite animal. That's basically how you get your spirit animal. I was kind of lost. But for me, if it was, like, if I had to pick one, it would probably be a falcon. I would love to just be flying around.
That's kind of cool.
Go for the bird.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, what animal has the best quality of life?
The lobster.
Maybe a house
cat.
No,
the water bear. House cat. What's the bear? That's a little, like, microscopic bear.
That's not an animal. That's a microbe.
A water bear. Yeah. What are they called?
That's not a bear. That's a micro bear.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like come a sloth. On. No, they made it.
It's called a water bear.
Yeah, it's called a water. Is it called a water bear?
That's the unscientific term for it. But yes, it's like called a water bear.
Like, stop making up animals, guys.
Swear to
they
God.
Made a South
puma
Park episode.
It's not an animal.
They made a South Park episode on it where it's like the smallest microorganism that has succeeded.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. It's called
generations
a,
over its
it has
time.
Bear in the name, but it's. Definitely not a bear.
It's a water bear, babe.
Water bear.
Oh, yeah, the water bear. Yeah, yeah.
It's just a water bear. No, yeah. look up the
tough. They could survive in space.
Water bear. Secrets of the water bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could survive in space. Yeah, the toughest microorganism. What do you mean, Bobby?
Ugly.
You just said, I want to be yada yada, and it sounds like
they're
a
awesome.
Water bear.
When you read about these things, Bobby, they're a lot of things
they're
going on.
They're bad fucking ass. Yeah.
They got more roles in my belly.
But
though.
I wouldn't want to be that.
So what do? They just float around and
they survive.
Yeah.
They just survive. They're so good at surviving.
Yeah, they could survive in space, micro stuff.
I don't know. See, I think an indoor house cat would still be better. You get pampered. They feed you. You shit in a box.
You want to be a house cat?
People take
Just chill around, you know.
I need an uppercut.
I can build you a box to shit in, Bobby. Is that something that's
Are you okay
going
with
on?
The 20-year lifespan?
Do you
want
to hear my answer? Okay, so I want to invite anyone who's listening to the podcast right now. And it's funny because Minnie brought up this whole like spirit animal thing. There is something called primal astrology. And yeah, Bobby, I'm into it. Okay. She's into it. So primal astrology is the astrology where Western astrology meets Eastern astrology. Okay. So you combine your Chinese zodiac with your Western astrology. So I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, I don't like this.
Bobby.
I'm a pig. So that's not going to work. I don't want to be a pig.
I mean, I'm a Scorpio and I'm also a dragon. So I'm a Scorpio dragon. And when you combine the two, my primal animal is a jaguar. And Jaguar is pretty fucking badass. So I'm a Scorpio dragon jaguar, and I'm just like,
yeah, super cool ones.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
What am I going to be like, a pig fucking?
I don't know.
I'm a horse.
If my cell phone weren't dead right now, I would look up your primal astrology.
I'm a
right
horse
now,
and a crab.
You're a horse
so
and a crab?
So you probably end up with like some
Cancer
fucking,
horse?
Yeah.
What are you?
I'm a water rabbit.
Water? No. Aquarius. Rabbit is one. Aquarius rabbit. And then Bobby, what are you?
I'd be a pig something. Well, what's the other part?
When's your birthday? Your pig.
What year?
Pig is the Chinese zodiac.
We need your year.
What's your Western sign?
I don't know. How do you find your
what's
Western?
What's your birth in a month?
April.
You're an Aries?
No. Taurus.
No? Taurus?
Oh. Okay.
Oh, so you're a Taurus.
I'm a bull pig.
Taurus
bull
pig.
Sounds like that nasty.
So when you combine a Taurus pig, and I don't have my cell phone right now, but primal astrology, guys, all you have to do is Google it. Just Google primal astrology. Find your third animal. Like I said, mine's pretty fucking badass. I would love to see if your animals compete to mine, but I've read everything about every single element of like all these three different parts
of me. I love
Shadow
Masters
and
questions.
I fit my stereotypes, my Asian stereotypes, my Westerners, my Scorpio stereotypes, my dragon stereotypes, my
fucking sloth on this bullshit you just talked about.
Just read the definition. Wait, what about Bobby? Can we find Bobby? Bobby,
did
who
already.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm a bull pig.
He's a bull. But you combine the bull and the pig and you get something else.
Shadow Master asks, what's a dog and the cancer? All right,
I don't know. A vet visit?
Yeah, trip to the vet right there.
I can't read anymore. I'm fucking drunk.
Okay, so Game real franchise. Quick. So Bobby, okay, so Minnie is a...
Water rabbit?
Wait, Aquarius rabbit sloth. Bobby is a Taurus... pig wombat.
Okay.
And then Amelia, what are you?
I don't know. How is there three? I'm missing.
Well, combine the two and you get a third.
The first sentence that they say about wombats are, and this is Bobby, Those born under the sign of the
wombat.
We're
not doing astrology on the podcast.
Are strong.
Bobby was never born. He was created.
Hey, hey, do you think Bobby is strong, determined, sensitive, and stubborn?
No.
Just, you're just saying that. You're just saying that. I'm just saying it's so much fun, and this is actually, it's more than just bar talk. I've made friends through this shit. Yeah. Like, my boyfriend is a koala, and I let him know he was a koala day one. Okay. And now we're like 2 years in. And so
we have koala sex.
Those weird mating habits.
I don't know anything about
rapey, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are they?
Yeah. Rapey.
Yeah, yeah, sounds rapey. About right.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's not right. No, no. You know what? You're a koala. I'm
just kidding. All right, this is going off the rails quick. At least we're at the end.
Are right. koalas very rapey? I'm not surprised.
I think so. I've heard that before about them. I don't mean to stereotype, but last question. Let's get it out of the way so we can put this episode down. Game franchise you hate the most. You wish they'd never made a game. You'd rather stab yourself in the eye than play the game.
Oh, man.
So
Dynasty
franchise.
Warriors.
Dynasty Warriors? Wow.
I like the early ones.
Yeah.
What?
And I played.
I love Dynasty Warriors. Yeah,
but you play the most recent ones, it hasn't made any improvements. Like, nothing has happened.
Yeah.
Not even the graphics are better. Oof. It's the same shit.
That's rough.
It might even be worse.
They have
it like might even be worse.
The Gundam ones and the Zelda one, too. They like made these spin-offs. I think
but
the Gundam
I
ones.
I feel like if they're by the same company, they can go
they,
fuck
they
themselves.
They definitely are.
Chat's saying PUBG and Kingdom Hearts.
What?
Oh, wow.
No, I Kingdom like both Hearts, of huh? those.
I don't know. If we were talking a franchise, like, I don't know. Usually there's like a good game, and then there's just like a bunch of other ones that aren't nearly as good.
We're going to say franchise. Let's go with three games or more. Right.
Yeah, I know I could come up with an answer, but on the spot, I can't think of anything right now.
See,
I
on the spot, the only thing that my mind generates is mostly sports games, but I know there are good sports games and bad sports games. Like the NBA 2K series, I know are generally a little bit more fun than the actual NBA games. What are the NBA games versus the 2K series? Do you know?
Like
I don't know
EA?
Who plays. Yeah, like the EA titles. I've played some sports games that I really like.
They all suck.
How about that? What's that imitation DDR franchise? It wasn't DDR. It was a stupid fucking... you know how DDR is like top down, left, right? Yeah, and then it was a dance game with like the diagonal arrows. That's what I choose.
There are a lot of people saying Sonic in the chat.
What? Sonic is amazing.
That's taken out a whole lot of games, man. That's like
everything that's not on Genesis sucks, really. Maybe the first one on Dreamcast, but
what about the new one?
How about PC gaming?
That one was awesome.
How about PC gaming?
You're playing Mania right now?
Yeah, I beat it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How about PC game specific?
How are you talking about?
We just threw out a lot of console games there. PC game.
Bobby, you got an answer?
I can't think of anything like a specific franchise that I don't. Whoever makes all those visual novels, I wish those would go away.
You got an answer, Bobby?
Probably
nah.
Just visual novel.
Bobby, we should play Doki Doki Literature Club.
You know what's sad is I hear that game's actually pretty good.
I hear
really?
That a lot.
Really? DDLC?
Too.
Yeah, maybe it was kind of spoiled should. On the PC Gamer podcast, so I kind of know what to expect. But I was like, okay. Huh, that's actually pretty good.
PC gaming franchise you wish never existed. What is it?
Yeah, well, I think, you know what? I think if I were to change your question, I would say which franchise do we just need to stop? Do we need to end? I'd have a few answers for that. Like Mortal Kombat, people are saying that in chat. I think that's one we just need to let go.
No, because 10 was amazing. Like, it's really well received. It's being played at Evo. 10's really good. 10, and then there was an they had a DLC that was really well received.
Oh,
from 9,
there's
from 9
one.
To 6 is fucking dog shit, but 10 really pulled it off, so.
Yeah. Yeah, Call of Duty, there's another one.
Take that
Half-Life
one
3, for sure. Yeah, there's just some franchises that it's just like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. Sonic.
We can't lie that not we would all buy Half-Life 3 sight unseen.
Oh, yeah.
You can't
lie. Yeah.
I totally agree.
I wouldn't buy it.
What?
You...
Oh, no, Bobby, don't...
Off the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, buddy. All right, cool. Now, speaking for Bobby, his holographic girlfriend.
We're going to talk about next week?
No.
Okay.
We should.
Okay, let's talk about next week.
All right, what are you guys going to be playing next week? What's happening?
Nothing. I won't have time at all next week.
I will be They Are Billions at 100%. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week.
They Are Billions?
They Are Billions 100%. It's going down.
Oh, what's the other one? You just brought up a game, though, that you wanted to play. Oh, that farming game.
Subnautica. And
no, the farming game.
Time.
Porsche. My time at Porsche.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to be playing a lot more Subnautica for sure.
Cool. Is that your new Darkest Dungeon?
Yeah, I've stopped playing Darkest Dungeon. Like, it was a tough break, but I was really close to beating it, but the end is extremely difficult, and I'm just not up for it right now, so I'm putting that one on hold.
Doesn't mean you're not going to come back. I think
I will, and unfortunately, I'll come back and be like, oh, shit, where did I leave off, and I'm going to have all this really difficult stuff to do, so that'll be fun.
You already said none. Dead Cells for me, straight up. That and some more Mordor. Hmm. Now, speaking for Bobby, his holographic girlfriend, that joke is gone now already. Chi, her angry boyfriend. Minnie and his, I don't know, he has a girlfriend, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a thing.
She might be real.
She might be real.
Flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And for
I've seen her.
And my very sad girlfriend. Shout out to Sam and her family. They're going through some shit today, or this week. Thoughts go out to them for sure.
Hearts and prayers.
Super sad titties. Bye, everybody.